Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and the director of the ELU Lab for Exercise Assessment Performance, which we call the LEAP. I'm joined by LEAP intern Nathan Marshall. He's a senior here at ELU. What's up, Nathan?
What's up, Kyle?
For Fit to Teach each week, we provide a summary of a research paper that provides insights into some aspect of health and wellness. We also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for that week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, healthy habits will accumulate and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So let's get into it. This week's paper is titled Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis of Protein Intake to Support Muscle Mass and Function in Healthy Adults. The overall summary is that it's a critical assessment regarding protein recommendations from places like the RDA. Mm-hmm. So what is the recommended basic amount of protein that a person is getting? Is that enough? And is eating more protein beneficial, especially as we age? And I definitely have some thoughts and opinions about this, not just from this paper, but my background is in nutrition. Yeah. And so we can discuss this a little bit, but I do think it's something that, you know, for a lot of people, one, the absence of frank protein deficiency does not necessarily mean that a person's protein intake is optimized. The second point is, I don't know how many people know how much protein they're getting on a daily basis. And that's what we're here to talk about and encourage people to check in on this week. How much protein do you need based on your current body weight? What are your goals to gain muscle, to gain mass, or to lose weight? For example, you don't want to undereat too much if you're trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that a little bit. What are some tools and ideas that we can use to track and better understand fat intake? And there's a bunch of cool things that we can do with AI. There's cool things that we can do with apps. So yeah, you read the article. What did you think about it? What'd you get out of it? What do you think is applicable to our population of teachers?
Since I found the articles, I want to highlight how great this is, because what they say in the article is that increasing protein, like when you eat more protein in combination with resistance training, so building off of last week, there's increase in lean body mass and muscle strength.
Yeah, this is such a good point. Last week, the Fit to Teach episode was focused on resistance training and really just this idea that it's a similar theme to what we did with walking, where we've worked really hard to try and convince you all that walking is not nothing. There is significant benefits to walking on a daily basis, to getting 200 to 300 minutes of walking exercise per week, mm-hmm. to incorporating a little bit of intensity in there a couple times a week. Weightlifting is a similar thing. It doesn't have to be super intimidating. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. The article last week talked about how low weight, but done with higher reps and consistently, can make significant improvements in strength. And we talked about how that translates to more functionality throughout a person's daily life. It supports your cardio. It supports your activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. It can reduce chronic pain. And now we have to figure out, okay, we might be doing the physical aspects of these things. We're walking more. We're lifting a couple times a week. How do we support that nutritionally? Yeah. And I think protein is a primary macronutrient mm-hmm. that needs to be addressed in this.
I know I've learned a lot about this from a performance standpoint, and I've learned what works for me. But again, protein intake is very individualized, right? So one thing I want to talk about and get your opinion on is, okay, like how much protein should we be eating a day? What foods have which amounts of protein? What are some good sources of protein? How much protein do these foods have? When should I be eating them? In combination with my workouts, I know something we talk about a lot about in class.
Yeah.
So those topics. So yeah, you want to talk about
them? Of course. Yeah, I think it's great. You're teeing me up here. The RDA, the general recommendation for protein intake is 0.8 grams per kilogram body weight.
Okay.
I know we're in America. We use the imperial system. Mm-hmm. We usually deal with pounds. But mm-hmm. when you're the scientific research in these areas, and I have found that the most effective approach to better understanding how much of different macronutrients a person is getting throughout the day mm-hmm. is to use grams per kilogram body weight. So it's a pretty easy conversion. You just take your weight pounds divided by 2.2. That gives you your weight in kilograms. Mm-hmm. You multiply it by, in this instance, 0.8.
Yeah.
What the, there's a growing number of studies. And again, this paper looks at it and combines a bunch of different studies together and examines those. There's also several other really good review papers on this topic. What is emerging is that 0.8 grams per kilogram body weight seems to be enough to prevent protein deficiency diseases. So these are diseases that are related to malnutrition. We don't experience a lot of that, thankfully. We're lucky. Our society supports us from a calorie standpoint, from a macronutrient standpoint. And most people, yeah, we do have issues with overweight, and we have issues with chronic disease, and we have issues with highly processed foods and things like that. But we don't have major food shortages. But that doesn't mean that we're getting optimal amounts of protein or we're getting them from healthy sources. What they're finding is that this 0.8 grams per kilogram body weight is not enough, and more somewhere in the neighborhood of, some people say 1.2 up to even 1.6 or 2 grams per kilogram body weight. In my experience, I've found that the sweet spot is somewhere around 1.4 to 1.6 grams per kilogram body weight. What's important about this is it has to be within a stone's throw of your current weight, even if one of your goals is to try and lose weight. So what does that mean? If I weigh 180 pounds and I'd like to someday weigh 160 pounds, I can't do my protein calculation for a 160 pound person because I have 20 more pounds of metabolic tissue. What you can do though, when you're calculating your macronutrients, if your goal is to lose weight, is you can go 5 or 10 pounds mm-hmm. below. Mm-hmm. So if you're at 180, you're trying to get to 150, what you do is you go, let's just split the difference and say, I'm going to take 173 divided by 2.2, multiply that number by 1.6. Mm-hmm. That's my protein goal for my goal weight.
Yeah.
That is on the path, not for the ultimate goal weight, mm-hmm. but it's on the path to put me in a healthier situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too, also with the foods more specifically, like I try and lean towards more that 1.6 grams per kilogram.
Sure.
And again, like I'm a broke college student. I don't use protein powder really. So my point is that it can be done on a budget and without being using like intimidate, like you don't have to make a protein shake to do that.
Yeah. But if you want to make a protein shake,
yes,
you can.
Yes, yes, like, yes, yes.
Whey protein is very effective at, and that's one of those things that as you start tracking this, mm-hmm. one of the things that I tell, like when I work with people and I talk to people about nutrition and getting enough protein is first, calculate the amount of protein that you need. So mm-hmm. you're going to take your body weight, divide it by 2.2, multiply it by 1.6. Mm-hmm. Now, if that comes out to be 105 grams of protein per day, mm-hmm. you do not need to get 105 on the dot. There's a range, probably 95 to 115 or something like this, where there's not going to be. But what you want is that if we average those 24-hour periods, if we average those days over the course of a month, are we close to 1.6? Mm-hmm. That's how you know you're in the right ballpark. Now, the second thing to take into consideration is when you're doing that, after you do that, the next thing you need to do is figure out how much protein are in the foods that you typically eat. And this is really important because it doesn't, now on the one hand, you can use a food tracker or you can do something like that. But most people find those frustrating. It's another piece of technology you have to work with. It's another thing that you have to do throughout the day when you're already super busy. Mm-hmm. A better way to go about doing this is to just learn how much protein is in the typical foods that you eat. And so having done this for a long time, I know that there's about 30 grams of protein in one chicken breast. I know there's 45 grams of protein in 6 ounces of steak. There's 20 grams of protein in tuna, 20 grams of protein in a cup of cottage cheese. There's 18 grams of protein in a cup of Greek yogurt. Mm-hmm. So you figure out these healthy whole foods. When you're talking about meat, it's really important to check that it's grass-fed, hormone-free, and antibiotic-free. Unfortunately, when it comes to meat, organic doesn't necessarily mean that it's also being grass-fed and it's also hormone and antibiotic-free. Mm-hmm. Because you can grain feed organic grain to a cow, for example, and call that organic meat, but it's not grass-fed. So there's certain considerations that you want to take into account. I would recommend, if you are going to spend more in a certain place on your food, spend it on good meat, because you can't wash meat. You can wash fruits and vegetables. Highly processed meat in pre-made dinners and things like that is typically going to have a lot more saturated fat and the types of fat. We can talk about this in different episodes. But overall, those first two steps and the goal for this week is really, let's calculate where I'm at currently. Let's figure out my weight in kilograms, multiply that by 1.6. When you combine that with regular exercise, including resistance training, and those sources of protein are coming from healthy places, you could probably get to 1.6 grams per kilogram on McDonald's beef patties and egg McMuffins. But there's a lot of other processed things and saturated fats in those that aren't going to be good for overall health. So we're talking about red meat two or three times a week, chicken, fish once or twice a week, dairy products. For vegetarians and vegans, it becomes a little bit more difficult. You have to mix and match complementary proteins that make whole proteins. Animal products have all 20 amino acids, whereas, so it's things like rice and beans, for example, are complementary proteins. Vegetarians, it's recommended they get 10% more protein overall than people that eat meat. So keep those things in mind while you're thinking about this and breaking it down. How do you go about this? Do you track?
No, I don't track. I don't like to track.
Do you know your number, though? Have you done your calculation?
I've done my calculation. Yeah. But I wouldn't say that I meet it every single day on the dot. Because I think for me, tracking can get a little obsessive. So I try and avoid that.
Yes.
For me, it's just knowing the foods and how much I eat. I can eat a lot of meat in one sitting. That's how I get my protein. Like you said, I've learned to spend my money on that. I feel a lot better. If I eat 3 eggs for breakfast, my normal serving of chicken for lunch, and my normal serving of beef for dinner, I'll meet my protein if I do that.
Yeah.
Just because of how much I eat.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Every once in a while, doing a spot check of measuring your food.
Sure.
And I've done that once or twice. And I've had assignments in classes where I've checked my food and I've used that information going forward. For me, that's how I do it. I feel the best doing that. I don't second guess when I'm eating. Yeah. And it's made me feel the best.
Yeah. So there's a couple advantages. So let's break this down a little bit. On the one hand, we're encouraging you all to, or suggesting that there isn't like a, this way is the right way for figuring out how to track nutrients.
Yeah.
Some people can measure their food out. They can put it in their tracking app. They find that process interesting. Other people find that process burdensome. And then Nathan shared, some people get to that. It's hard to turn their brain off around it if they're doing it too much. Mm-hmm. So find out what's right for you by experimenting with different things. In regards to tracking, some of the more popular apps, there's an app called MyFitnessPal that a lot of people are familiar with. That one has an okay food tracking app. There's also a very weirdly named app called Fat Secret. I've used that before. The reason why I like Fat Secret is that it very clearly tracks grams of macronutrients. And I think grams of macronutrients are a much better way to track your diet than calories. You want to get a certain amount of grams per kilogram body weight of protein, certain amount of grams per kilogram body weight of fat. You can modulate your carbohydrates based on training. There are some advantages. We can talk about this in future episodes. There are some advantages to being low carbohydrate at certain times. Mm-hmm. There's also some nice advantages, especially from an energy standpoint, to selectively getting the right amount of carbohydrates when you want to get it. So those are two, Fat Secret, MyFitnessPal. There's the one we use for class, which is super detailed. It's called Chronometer. Mm-hmm. That's free. Mm-hmm. And then, to be honest with you, one of the things that's been very useful for me has been using AI in this field.
Yeah.
Like ChatGPT has access to all the information about food and ingredients that are on the internet and those types of things. So you can ask ChatGPT, hey, I'm eating this much meat right now. How much protein is in it? And it'll just tell you.
Yeah.
You do that for a couple of days and then you get a feel for like how much protein are in the foods that you can eat. The other way is that if you, and I don't know, how much meal planning do you do?
Don't plan.
Okay.
Go to the store, get what I get.
Get what you get. But for other people that like a little bit more variety, they like to plan. They're responsible for feeding their family along with, they're not just responsible for feeding themselves. They want to make sure the people around them are healthy and eating healthy. One of the things that we found is that AI and ChatGPT can be super useful for providing simple, easy to make recipes that are healthy and nutritious that can meet certain macronutrient goals.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you know you need 30 grams of protein, 20 grams of fat, and 40 grams of carbs in a meal, you can just tell ChatGPT, I want a healthy, easy to make meal based around chicken that meets these macronutrient goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get you in the ballpark. Is it like if we got out military grade precision instrumentation and measured it, would it be 100% accurate? No, but does it get you in the game? Absolutely.
Yeah. I think too, one thing I want to talk about is, so we talked about resistance training and pairing that with protein and have to highlight when to eat protein in regards to a workout. And
sure.
This is something we talk about in class a lot. So I'll say what I think and you correct me if I'm wrong, but we obviously eating protein after resistance training is very useful in maximizing your gains.
Yes.
But there's also evidence that if you eat protein before, you can still maximize your gains. Is that correct?
So it's interesting. Based on in my interpretation of the studies, I always have to make sure I put that caveat out because a lot of times as experts, we say things in a way that seems so factual. This causes a lot of people stress because they're like, I heard this other person that also has a PhD in nutrition say this. And I heard this other person that works with Hollywood actors say this. And then I heard this other person say this. And so I think it's really important to understand that these are really complex, nuanced complex nuanced areas of study. And people are going to, based on their training and the amount of reading they do, their anecdotal experience, put together their own story. But you'll probably hear me say this multiple times throughout this podcast series. But my interpretation based on some well-done studies is that around resistance training, it doesn't seem to matter if you eat your protein before or after.
Okay.
You get a similar muscle protein synthetic rate in response.
Okay.
From a practical standpoint, some people like the feeling of having a little bit of food in their stomach when they're lifting. Other people don't and want to eat afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that if we're talking about really hard training athletes, then it's clear that whey protein is the best protein source for post-exercise recovery.
Yeah.
It gets absorbed the fastest. It has the best amino acid profile, meaning that the individual parts of that protein show up in your blood faster and go to higher levels, and it stimulates protein synthesis and all these things. For a recreational active athlete, if you time your workout prior to lunch, great. Just make sure your lunch has the protein in it that you need.
Yeah.
What we're trying to get at in this episode is how much protein do I need based on this 1.6 grams per kilogram calculation? How am I going to get that? What foods are healthy? How can I get a variety of protein containing healthy foods that meet my protein needs on a daily basis? Once you dial that in, then you can start doing some of this like cuter stuff around protein supplementation, around workouts and things like that.
Yeah.
One of the other things that I think is really good, one, I want to ask you, when you learned about this and you started making adjustments to your protein intake, do you remember what changes you noticed?
I feel more satiated.
I just wanted to talk about that.
I don't find myself snacking as much.
Big deal for a college aged man.
Yeah. I notice my workouts are having more effect, which is very rewarding.
So what does that mean? So how would
getting the gains, Kyle?
I know, I like it. But how would you, I'm probing a little bit here because I know how I describe this, but I want you to describe that a little better.
Okay. To put it simply, this is something I don't really mind talking about. My weight is staying the same, but my fat is decreasing.
Yes.
And that's the biggest thing I notice. I'm not losing weight. And during soccer season, that's super, super difficult. And I lose weight a lot. And I
because your volume is.
And then I feel not good. So yeah. I lose muscle. And yeah. now after season, and I'm starting to lift more, my weight has gone back up to what it was before, but I'm not gaining fat.
Yep. So there's a couple things to go with this. Now, it's important to take into consideration yes. that you're like a 21-year-old yes. male college yes. athlete, yep. and we're working with a different hormone profile and things like that.
Totally.
So take that into account as you're listening to this. There's a couple things that have come out of what you just told me that I want to highlight, because it's really common when I talk to people about the experience after they've increased the amount of quality protein mm-hmm. they're consuming. Mm-hmm. Number one is they don't feel as hungry. One of the things I hear from people that start increasing their quality protein intake is they're just not as hungry. And this is one of the reasons why higher protein diets can lead to some weight loss mm-hmm. and people will experience that. Now, there's a lot of fads around these things, mm-hmm. Atkins diet and all these different types of things that are part of our vernacular. But the reality is that if you just start focusing on, is this a quality protein source and is it helping me reach the 1.6 grams per kilogram body weight? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be as hungry.
Yeah.
When you're not as hungry, you don't snack as much. When you don't snack as much, a lot of the snacks that we crave when we're hungry are high in carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. So they're things like chips, a little candy bar, maybe a soda. Those things spike insulin. And insulin is a hormone that we'll talk about in future episodes. Anytime insulin is up because blood sugar has gone up, you suppress fat breakdown and you promote fat storage. Mm-hmm. So even if you're just sitting here and could use fat as your main fuel source, if you put carbohydrates into the system, you'll spare fat and use those carbohydrates. So if we reduce snacking, we can reduce the number of times that we spike insulin throughout the day. We promote more usage of fat as a fuel. And that's when we see, but we maintain our lean mass because we're getting enough protein and we're getting enough calories.
Yeah.
And that's like what you're experiencing, where you're gaining and maintaining muscle mass, you're losing fat mass, and you're also not as hungry. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the major benefits of getting enough protein and getting more than what's recommended in terms of protein. Yeah.
And a couple of things to touch on that I've learned is when you gain muscle, you can also sometimes gain a little weight.
Sure.
So that can be intimidating. Some people, it was intimidating for me at first. When you gain more muscle, you're hungrier, right? Just generally, you sometimes.
Sometimes. So it's a good, what happens is that the more lean mass you have, the higher your daily metabolic rate is.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can convert to increase in hunger.
Okay. Yeah.
And you just want to be aware of what those changes are. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we're going to talk a lot about as this series goes on is that weight is not a good indicator of your success. Change in weight is not a good indicator. Now, being at a certain weight, say you're overweight, for example, and you're overweight, you're not exercising regularly, your diet can improve. Is that being overweight like that associated with increased risk for cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, strokes, those types of things? Yes, absolutely. But we don't want to set weight as the only parameter of health. In fact, weight is a very finicky thing because mm-hmm. we have talked about how you get a benefit every time you go for a walk. You get a benefit every time you go, and walking is not nothing. Mm-hmm. And you get a benefit when you lift low weights, high reps. Mm-hmm. A person can benefit from a higher protein diet. We really want to get away from this idea that weight is an indicator of whether something is or isn't working. What are indicators of what is and isn't working is on my yearly blood work, is my fasting blood glucose improving? Is my cholesterol improving? Is my resting heart rate improving? Can I walk farther and still feel better? Mm-hmm. All these are better measures of actual fitness gains than just weight. So I want to make sure that when we talk about diet and we talk about these calculations and things like that, we can have these general goal weights.
Yeah.
But that's really just based on the fact that I think I can slim out or I want to try and gain muscle.
Yeah.
They're not based on that isn't the primary outcome goal. The other thing that people describe to me when they are on top of their protein intake and getting more protein is that they, and you might experience this, they feel more motivated and recovered as they think about what training they have for that. So one of the things with some of the athletes that I work with, one of the things that is an indicator that they're under fueling or that they're under in protein or both is if they have a hard workout on Tuesday and they have a hard workout scheduled, they have a hard workout scheduled on Tuesday and a hard workout scheduled on Friday. If on Friday they wake up and or on Thursday night, they're feeling like, oh, I can't believe I have a hard workout. That came way too fast. So if hard training or just training in general seems like it's coming too fast, like, I can't believe that's coming up again, that could be a sign of being under in protein. It can also be a sign you're under in sleep, you're under in fuel, those sorts of things. But one of the things that happens when people start consuming a little bit more protein as recommended by this paper or as discussed in this paper, they start to just, it's not as big deal. It's not as hard to get out the door and exercise because you're recovering from that exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think right now for me, it's hard to be in tune with that because I have so much going on and I'm making this transition from having all my workouts planned for me to doing them on my own.
Yeah.
And that's really scary and hard and a lot of times unmotivating. So I think for me, over this break, one thing I'm going to try and do is be able to reset and I'm only going to be relaxing and focusing on my workouts. I'll get a better sense of how protein is influencing that.
I think that's great. And I think the break is something where you can take advantage of an opportunity like that. For those of you that don't know, Nathan's transitioning from, he just finished his collegiate soccer career.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's responsible for taking care of his own health as a adult adult athlete moving into the next phase of his lifetime fitness journey. And so one of the things that like breaks like this can do is we don't want you stressed about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make it achievable and have people looking forward to trying these things. It's really cool that you said, I have this break. I know I'm going to have a little bit of time. I'm going to concentrate a little bit on my health. And I know that's going to make me feel better because I feel burned out right now.
Yeah.
And whereas some people may approach it as, I can't wait for this break. I'm going to do absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get a balance of those two things.
Yeah.
Because doing absolutely nothing and unplugging and relaxing is also super important. And that's what we focus on Friday is unplugging and recharging. But we also need to take care of that. Those things don't fight each other. When you're doing those things in a balanced way, they complement each other. 1 + 1 equals more than 2 when you're taking care of both those things.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So this week, we really want to encourage people to try and get a feel for, one, calculating how much protein that you need. Do some sort of either detailed or non-detailed assessment of how much protein you're getting and the quality of that protein. Am I getting a combination of lean meats, quality meat, fresh fish, game meat, whatever it is? That's something that's very cool around here. A lot of people hunt and have access to game meat, which is very healthy. Then make some adjustments and check in and see how you're feeling while you're implementing your bit of walking and your 2 days a week of low weight, high rep resistance training, following some sort of app or something like that. The whole point of this is that we're building on these things week to week and that it gives you some real direction. If you guys out there are interested in having assessments, having further discussions like this with us in person, reach out to Nathan, reach out to the Leap Lab, reach out to Scott, and we'll get you in for your wellness exploration. We have a high performance exploration. We have a recreational exploration. We do a lot in the lab. I'd say it's probably around $500 to $800 worth of fitness assessments that is subsidized for you, for the teachers, for free.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get as many as you in. The other thing is if you have questions that you want to hear us talk about and research areas you want to hear us discuss on the podcast, shoot us an email and get in touch with us. Our lab email address is humanperformancelab@eou.edu. Human Performance Lab is all one word, no spaces, @eou.edu. Thanks for listening to Fit to Teach, where we provide insights into health and wellness for teachers and staff each week. We'll see you on Friday for our new episode of Classroom to Call.
Have a great week.